Oh, it's my turn?
Your turn.
Yes.
It is wonderful to be God, one of God's children. I love singing songs like that that uplift us and keep us assured the fact that God does love us and He wants the best for us. And so today, let's look at Philippians. We're going to look at verse 7 and hopefully maybe get into the last couple of verses of this lesson. But, you know, let's, Philippians 7, let's 4:7, we'll see what it does. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, again, we are so thankful. Thankful that we are children of you. And Father, we're thankful that you love us and take care of us. Father, you give us, as we see here, the peace of God. Father, we see that once we're saved, that peace enters in. And we can walk through this earth, even with all the hostilities and the turmoil that's going on. We can have that perfect peace and know that you have control of it, even when we see things we don't fully understand. Father, I thank you that you work with each and every one of us individually. You encourage us. You guide us and direct us on our path through this world. And Father, we thank you that we can look into your word. We can use these lessons that you've laid before us, and that we know that they will encourage us, they will give us direction and wisdom. But Father, most of all, we can look and see that we're not the only ones that have gone through these types of turmoils. And Father, we know how to apply it to our lives as a result. And Father, we thank you now for all of this, and we do ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen. So when we look at this, we're now looking at Paul's requirements, and he, you know, think on the right thoughts. Well, actually, we're going to go back to, I don't want to go there yet. I want to go to verse 7. See if I go too far. There we go. We're still working with prayer, and believers are to be to petition God specifically and to accompany their requirement of request with thanksgiving. And I think last week, did we ask this question last week? You know, describe a time when you experienced an indescribable peace as a result of praying about difficult circumstances. Well, anybody want to give me a testimony with that? Lynn?
The first one that came to my mind was when my dad died.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's wonderful to be able to find out. Yeah, when there's a doubt in some people's lives, and then when you finally either get the right words or they're in the right position where they can give you that assurance of that. Anybody else? I know in my life, one of the many times, but shortly after I was saved, we were in Stockton, California, and I got word that from my wife, I'll embarrass her a little bit, but not quite, but she had some fibroid tumors, and I didn't know what they were. I just heard tumors, and I was at work, and I don't remember whether she called me or we found out, but fortunately I was able to shut and lock my little office door because I had the secret documents and stuff that the reserve center needed. And I just locked myself in there and just cried for about an hour. And when I got up, I had a perfect peace about it. She went in, the doctor says, "Oh, these are not that big of a thing." He says, "Women have them all the time." He says, "Sometimes they get worse." He says, "We're going to take yours out." And that kind of gave both of us a little trepidation, but it's taken care of. And we said, "God, that's your choice to take my wife, then fine. And we're not worried about it since. Now, it doesn't mean that we haven't had other times to jump up like that, but it's just an indescribable peace that we get. And yet, anybody else? I have a testimony time today. Pastor?
Well, I remember doing the surgery trip out here when my wife, he and I came out, and it was a trial time, some heart trials, during that time we were out here. And got everything set up, ended up having a company that was supposed to sell us a house and put it in the park. And we got everything done, and the Lord got us part of the trials here. Went back to Florida. While we're back there, everything fell through. You can't come through for you. And so we, you know, some of you know the story. But when it was like, here we have, we're supposed to leave in a month, and we have no house, no place to go. And but it was peace. It was like, wow, there's nothing we can do. God's going to do this.
It's amazing when we just step back and let God do the work, and He gives us the direction to go. And you know, it's a peace that I don't think anybody else, unless you're a Christian, condone. And you know, it's amazing. Just that feeling that's there. Anybody else want, you know, I don't want to talk. But Charles?
Well, I want to share it too. We all know that back in February I lost my job as the company closed down. And I struggled to begin with it, of course. I mean, I didn't expect it at all. I was kind of blowing me out of water happened. And I know I was going to be struggling to start after I got the virus hit, and it's made it worse than the struggling to get a point here in the house. So I didn't get that check for a long time either. So we were struggling financially a little bit. Had to rely on God for that. I'm sure that there's things that happen that made me worry about it a few times. And I relied on God, and I knew He was going to take care of whatever's going to happen. Even with the jobs that I got offered, which was the right one, stuff like that, decision I had to make. And I was confident. I was peaceful about what happened. I was heading in the right direction
right
at the time, and it's been wonderful ever since. So it's good.
Amen.
It's what I could do.
Amen.
I finally, at the end, started just letting go. I thank you guys for praying for that as well.
Yes.
Because that was a big part of it as well, knowing you guys were praying.
Amen. Well, you know, it's wonderful. Sometimes we are brought right to the very edge of things. And it's about like when we think we're going to fall over, the back of our collar pulls us back and says, it'll be fine. It's like, but no, listen to me. It'll be fine. You know, that's why when we think the peace of God, you know, we're the only ones that have that, you know, and thinking, and I don't want to take anything away from anybody else, some, you know, want to share. I mean, because, you know, it's important that, one, we can share how God has taken care of us. It encourages all of us. But, you know, when you think about the peace, you know, there's the peace from God that Paul oftentimes puts into his introductions. And then there's the peace with God. You know, the peace of God from God reminds us that our peace comes from us as a gift. And then the peace with God describes that relationship that we have. That, you know, when we're through the work, the finished work of Christ on the cross, you know, we have peace with God. We're no longer His enemy. And, you know, we didn't have to sign any documents. We didn't have to sit on, like, at the end of World War II on the Missouri with everybody around. It was just God and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They were the ones that took care of that peace treaty when we came to that. Yeah, each one of us were individually present. And it's a wonderful thing to have that happen. And then the peace of God, like we're talking about here, and I ran across this, Spurgeon stated, what is God's peace? It's the unruffled serenity of the infinitely happy God, the eternal composure of the absolute well-contented God. In other words, he's sharing His peace with us. And that, you know, once we're saved, we have that absolute peace. And how we utilize it, it's, you know, up to us. You know, and there's some people that walk around with a poochy face or sour look all the time, but it's one that you know he gives us, and as it says, it's beyond, as it says, which passeth all understanding. I mean, we can't comprehend it completely. We don't fully understand it. We just know it's there, and it's not like finding that, as the mythical story goes about finding the bottle on the beach and opening it up, and you know the genie comes out and everything's there for us, and you know takes care of every one of our needs. But it's like Isaiah 26:3 says, you know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, he helps us focus on him. And the Apostle Paul's been stressing that through this one, but all through these lessons in Philippians, having the mind of Christ, that we think like him. And so, you know, and Christ was even teaching the disciples in John 14:27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And of course you can link that with John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And it's one that he was telling them that there is a perfect peace. He said even in turmoil. And we know as we read through the Gospels and we read through the rest of the New Testament that Christians are going to be challenged, and it's going to challenge our standing with the Lord. The world's going to try its best. You know, Satan having control of it. We look around us now with all everything that's going on. And I was conveying with a friend of mine that I said, well, we're back into the riot season again. Because if you look back every year about this time, something like this goes on. Riots go on and on and on. You know, some of us are old enough to remember the riots that occurred in the 60s over the Vietnam War, and shortly afterward I went to the service and didn't see a lot of it because I was deployed where it was not even around. But cities were burning just like this, only on a bigger scale. The civil rights movement, you know, for the most part was peaceful. But yet there were those that were determined to make it ugly and to make it something besides what it was. It's like what's going on now with the death of this man in Minnesota. You know, people have already said, well, it's no longer about him. It's about, you know, getting what I can get, you know, stealing things. You know, I hear jokes all the time about people, you know, what they're stealing, the TVs going out, you know. Think back in the 60s, you didn't steal TVs back then. They were just a little too heavy to carry out. Anybody ever see those old consoles? I want to see somebody take one of those out through the door. You know, hey, back the truck up here so we can get it in. But people no longer think about that. And then when you do mention about the Lord and needing the Lord in your life, they just scoff at you. And they make it out to seem like it's a joke. And so the peace that's there, you know, Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You know, the people today, you know, they're not thankful. They want more. They want more. And as Christians, I'm sure we say, God, what, you know, what more do you have for me? And he'll show you, especially when you turn with him, but you know, turn our heart over to him the way it ought to be, that let him guide and direct us in our walk. You know, Christ was talking about my peace, it's his peace, and it's the only kind of peace that Christians have, and it's through Christ. You know, it's a special peace, and it's fitted for the individual. Some people are very easy and very peaceful. Others, it takes a while to knock those rough edges off to get as peaceful. And, you know, I know in my life it took me a while to understand that and how to know to have that peace. You know, and as it as he says, not as the world, you know, in John 14:27, it says it doesn't surpass the understanding, it does, the peace of Christ surpasses anything the world has. You know, when you think about that, you know, the objects which men commonly pursue, pleasures, fame, wealth, you know, they leave care and anxiety and remorse. They don't, these don't meet the desires of the immortal mind. You know, some Christians become very, very popular and get well known. Some have gained wealth as a result. And sometimes it's taken a toll on them, but it's impressive when that popularity and growth shows up when you see that person does not change. He still says, I got this through Christ. He trusted me enough with this to do this. And then there's others that never make up to that point, but if you watch them, they're even more wealthy in some ways when they say, you know, God's taking care of all of my needs. I think, you know, Brother Charlie, with the loss of a job, or many of us facing the potential of a lot of things that we can't do. We said, oh, okay, fine. I know because of this time around here, we didn't really see much of a change in our lifestyle, and it didn't seem to affect too many of us. There's others that are just panicked. They're afraid. They're worried. And when you relay to them about faith through Christ and knowing Him as your Savior can establish that peace, they just look at you and scoff. And a lot of times unfriend you on Facebook. I had that happen. A lot of people, I said, fine, if you want to, you know, live your life this way, because if you don't have Christ, when you die, where are you going to be? And boy, I tell you, that puts them in a position. It also, it says, the world gives, they salute you with empty and flattering words. That's a lot of times what happens. Their professed friendship is often resigned and has no sincerity. You can't be sure that they're sincere, but God is. God is sincere, and we know that as we go more and more through our life with Him. This is not systems of philosophy and false religions, and we've been studying a lot of those, of saying, what do they promise? Well, if you do this, you might. And we can't guarantee that. No one can know for sure. You know, how many times have you heard that from people? Oh, you can't know that for sure. Oh, yeah, I'm sure of it. It's written right down here. God's given us that promise. You know, it's oftentimes the world's conscience tries to, you know, it makes you feel good if you do things like that, only for a time. And they go right back to doing what they were doing. You know, it doesn't reconcile the soul to God by doing those good works. It might make you feel good for a while. Now, after salvation, different story. God assures you, goes, hey, that was really nice the way you did that, or how you did that. But then again, when we do it in and of our own works, He's going to tap us on the shoulder and says, okay, why did you really do it? You know, gets us to think about, why did we do that? Did we do it because, well, it make me look better, you know, raise my standing amongst my fellow Christians? Well, it might, but it might not, because oftentimes hypocrisy can be seen through. We mentioned that that meets the wants of the of our soul, you know, on a worldly level. You know, there are people that give to charities because, oh, I got some extra money lying around, I think I can just give there, and I'll feel a little bit better about that. You know, the world thinks, you know, saving the whales and other animals is more important than saving babies. You know, they feel good about saving the whales, but oh no, don't you tell me how to maintain my body. You know, it's my body and I'll do with what I want. Okay, fine, murderer. And just leave it at that. They're a murderer. You know, and people that encourage it. You know, it's a peace that the world can never take away when we have Christ as our Savior. You know, and he gives us not to be afraid either. You know, and there, sadly, there are people, Christians included, that are afraid, very afraid. And some could be for good reason. Maybe they're very ill and have concerns that, you know, why am I here? Why am I? God kept us here for a purpose, every one of us. You know, and as we said, it's beyond our understanding, one, why he keeps us here. And we kind of laugh. When rapture occurs, you want to see turmoil? You want to see chaos? Can you imagine what the world's going to think when all of a sudden a majority or a big chunk of the population just disappeared? Yeah. You know, I want to think that he's going to be standing there going, wow, I didn't do this, did I? Yeah. You know, I want to think that. And there are people that have personally met with him that seem to think that he's made a profession. You know, I know when I was first saved, a lot of my lifestyle didn't change. A lot of things that I did, I still did, until I was shown that that's not needed. You don't need to be doing that anymore. But it's it's like explaining to somebody about heaven. You know, when we look in Scripture, we get descriptions of it, and we can only imagine it. And some people have got great imaginations. There's some beautiful paintings, you know, over the centuries of what they think heaven looks like. And I don't think they'll even hold a candle to it. I think it's going to be something more than, you know, than what Brother Nick sees over in Hawaii in paradise. You know, having every tree around you that you can eat from. Having, you know, a perfect climate all the time where you don't have to worry about whether you're hot or cold. The lighting is going to be perfect all the time. And we won't need electricity. We won't need alternative energy. We'll have the energy of the universe. We'll have the Son of God shining through us. You know, Ephesians 3:19 says, "And you know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." As we go through, it's amazing, if we were to look back when we were first saved, you know, what was our level of knowledge of God? Yeah, you know, I remember some of my Sunday school classes as a kid growing up. I just knew them as, you know, cute little stories growing up. But when we got saved, if we happened to have gone to Sunday school, some of us never went to them. We might look back and go, "Wow, I kind of do remember them, and now I know how to apply them, understanding." Because God is working with us, you know. And when we've committed our life, as what the Apostle Paul is encouraging the Philippians here, is to have that peace. And I know we were talking about the conflict between these two women, the disagreement, whether it was a full-blown conflict, but there was a disagreement in there such that it was creating a problem. And he was encouraging about the peace of God, that every Christian needs it. And we all have it at different degrees, like it says. But, you know, there's no confidence in our own powers when we just have to turn it over to the Lord. And we realize that, you know, all of our plans, if they're not planned with the Lord in mind, are probably not going to happen. Or if they do, they're going to be hay, wood, and stubble. That's what a lot of it's going to be. And I know, you know, when you look back at when Moses was disobedient about the water, he was told to speak to the rock. Instead, he hit the rock. You know, he wasn't thinking at the time of, "Well, God told me all I have to do is speak. Nah, come on, I'm just going to hit him. I'm angry at these people." Well, he was disobedient, and he was held accountable for it. And I know all of us are going to be held accountable for a certain amount of things that we've done here. And realize that when we stand before the Lord, some of those are just going to be burnt up. But yet, he's going to stand and show us where we did what we were supposed to be doing. And we'll have that perfect peace. And I'm sure when we stand before this, there's going to be a certain amount of fear, reverential fear, knowing that, okay, well, what? And I don't know if we'll be thinking of the rewards or not. We'll just be thankful of standing before the Lord, knowing that, okay, I don't have eternal, I don't have an eternal death that's going to be occurring. I have eternal life. And that should give us that peace when we stand before Him. And the thing is it isn't that it's senseless and therefore impossible to understand, but it's just beyond our ability. And it's and we really just basically have to experience it. You know, again, it's like describing heaven to somebody and say, okay, I can give you a description, but think of the most beautiful, most desirable place to be, and that won't even touch it. That, you know, it's because we don't understand. But when we get there, we'll experience it fully. And then when we think of that, it says keep our hearts and minds, as he says, that hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I was looking through there, they kept saying that this is a military term. It's guarding. It's guarding our hearts and minds. And it's to keep them from anxiety and agitation. And through Christ, that will take care of us. Yeah, there'll be a certain amount of fear that we have. I think looking back over some of the martyrs and what they were going through, as they were going, knowing that they had a perfect peace with God. And he had that peace as they stood there and were able to sing hymns and pray and quote scriptures to those that were killing them. But I'm all the while thinking that would be, I don't say it would be interesting to be there when that occurred, but to know what was really going through them. But being sold out and having Christ as the center of our lives is important, that it guides us. And it'll be, help us go through those trials. Because who knows what's going to happen in the next while before the rapture. Things could get real ugly. And then I think, well, if they're going to get ugly while we're here, what's it going to be like when we're gone? And what are my family members and friends and people that I work with, what are they going to go through if they don't know Christ? I need to be telling them about that, sharing the gospel as often as possible with somebody. Yeah, a lot of them are just going to laugh at you. But you know, more and more people that I run into profess that they know Christ as Savior. And I look back at their lifestyles and I go, wow, that okay. I want to see that now. And I'm thankful that they shared that. You know, it's guarding us as guarding a camp or to make sure, and that's what our hearts and minds are. We need to keep that guarded. We need to be vigilant as to what not to let through. Because all of what's going on right now, that could devastate a lot of people, and it does. It's made a lot of people angry. It's made a lot of people fearful. A lot of people afraid to even venture out. And it's sad that they're doing that. So it's, you know, the peace of God helps us maintain that guard. It's... Well, those of us who've been in the military, I was going to look up the general orders that we learned in boot camp, you know, about maintaining our guard and do it the best to our ability. Well, not let anybody go by. And if the enemy comes through there and captures me, I will do my best to escape from them. You know, and they list them all out, and we had to repeat them regularly. Brother Chris, you could probably, you're younger than me, you might remember them. I know. The minute we got out of boot camp, it's like, okay, yeah, we understand that. It's, you know, one of those things that you learn through there. But when you look back at it and you look them up, you find out that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to guard our hearts and minds, not let the enemy in there, not let them create a diversion so that we lose track of what we're supposed to be doing. And through Christ, He's that agent that takes care of us to make sure that we're doing what's right. He helps us with our conscience. The Holy Spirit, you know, we don't stand that guard alone. The Holy Spirit is there right next to us, encouraging us. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. this is what you need to do. And, or you ask the questions of, okay, am I going the right way? And sometimes if you don't hear that, no, don't go that way. It gives us the direction that we need to go and that encouragement. And as we look through there, the real understanding, Paul never lost sight of that truth. And that there was that security and happiness that can be traced to our Savior. And he's there ensuring that we know what we're supposed to be doing and the direction we're going. And it's like as we close things down with this, you know, that indescribable peace during difficult circumstances, you know, we're to petition God regularly. And if we're not, then we need to know, yes, Lord, please work on me to come to you more often if we aren't already. And I venture to say most of us all here spend a lot of time on our knees before the Lord asking for the right direction for us to do things. And when we bring them to him, to do them in thanksgiving. And as a result, that will create less conflict, at least among Christians. Sadly, the world, you know, they're going to laugh at us. They're going to make jokes about it. They're going to tell us that we don't know what we're talking about. And thankfully, we can just smile at them and look at them and just say, well, you know, without Christ, you're going to die. You're going to go to hell. Of course, that'll probably spark another attitude by them. But we speak the truth. But we do it in love. We do it in such a way that the Holy Spirit might convict them and reach out. And some of them, who knows, might change. You know, I watch a lot of what's going on, going, why? Why do they destroy things? You know, thankfully, as Christians, we have that perfect peace. And it does. It goes beyond our understanding. And without that, you know, Isaiah 26:3-4 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And when we have that peace, there's that perfect strength. Knowing that, hey, you know, if a group came in here today and says, oh, you know, we're going to tear your church apart and we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you're not around, we can have perfect peace with that, knowing that, hey, God's not going to let it be destroyed. You know, there's adversities now to churches as a result of things like that. And I'm thankful that we can look to the Lord and we can sing the songs like the last one that we sang. You know, it's a joy to be a Christian. And the world is baffled by us. But we need to be strong. We need to not let us grind us down as what was trying to happen and what is continually happening is they're trying to grind us down. And thankfully, the Lord gives us strength to go through that, to have that peace and understanding, and to stand our ground when we need to. And that needs to be important. We need to know when to do that, how to do it, but to do it in such a way that we're glorifying God in all that we do. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again that you love us. We're thankful that you take care of us. And Father, even though we know that there's adversity going on all around us, that we can have that perfect peace. And you'll guide us and direct us. You'll give us the encouragement. You'll give us the strength that we need to go through those turmoils. But Father, I do pray that as a result, we can win the lost to you in the time that we have on this earth. That we will not give up, but that we will continue as in a race and a marathon. We know that the prize is waiting for us. We want to know how many more that we can bring with us into the kingdom. And Father, I thank you that you bring each and every one in there through the work that we do as individuals to be a shining light to those about us, to be a word of encouragement to Christians that are downtrodden. And Father, that we're able to do that through the strength that you give us and that perfect peace that the world will never understand. And we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.